There comes a time in everyone's life when the world seems to be so large and your life so small. Life can close in and leave you lost and feeling alone, especially if there are health issues or financial strife that appear to be out of control. You're not alone, or are you, without hope or answers? All you have to do is take a moment to clear your thoughts and mind. Open your heart and receive God's love. The grace of God and the sacrifices of Jesus are right here for your ability to enjoy your life free of pain and suffering. The Holy Spirit is just waiting for you to ask for God's love and the grace over your life. This internet radio show is here for just this purpose: to enlighten, empower each and every one of you who seek such peace and harmony in your life. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Huckaday is here to assist in your quest for salvation and God's grace. Welcome to the Abiding Presence Internet Radio Show.
I don't know. I don't know. You know, I read all that stuff, and I go to the meetings, and, well, I listen to those two guys on that internet radio show, and, you know, all that dog spelled backwards stuff, and I don't know, I'm not getting anywhere. It's just, I'm trying. God knows, God's got to know that I'm trying. I'm trying hard. I've never tried at something so hard in my whole life. Every day, all day, I think about grace and looking for grace and I don't know. You know, today it was raining. I was just waiting to see somebody walk on water in a puddle in the parking lot. I'm just so hard trying to. Oh, I'm just frustrated. It's just, I don't know. I mean, things aren't bad. I mean, it's not like things are bad or anything. And, you know, thank God we're blessed. Everybody's good in the house. But, well, I mean, you know, everybody's got dramas and issues in their life. You know, that saying, you walk somebody's shoes for a mile, you know, that kind of thing. But just got to be more. I mean, I don't know. It's supposed to be easy, and we're born with it, and grace is supposed to be helping us, and I'm praying, and I'm just, I don't know. I don't know. I don't want to give up, because I know that's not the thing to do, and I just wish there was. I just wish there was more that I would feel more, that I could see more, and it's just so frustrating. I don't know what else. I don't know. You know what I mean? Well, there you have it, folks. Encapsulated in a nutshell. Who knows? Who knows on the face of the planet how many people think and feel that and say that to themselves every day, all day long? That's not me. The biggest problem I have is grace. I keep getting more grace, trying to figure out what to do with it all. But isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Of course it is. Tonight on Jim's show, we're going to talk about the frustration that I just portrayed, that I just talked about, the person that I was trying to portray, to open up the show, to feel that way, to think that way, has got to be, I can only imagine, and I don't know what it is to feel that way, and I'm really glad I don't. because that frustration of unanswered prayers, that perplexed, confused, I don't know what else I can do. I don't know how much more I'm supposed to change. What else there is about me that's in the way. I get all that. It makes sense, but I just can't figure out what it is. But, and it comes down to last week's homework assignment, which was get a book, get a Bible, because we're going to refer to scriptures. And there's one interesting thing about that entire book, old, new, the dictionary, the maps. There's one thing that is portrayed in so many sentences from cover to cover in the Bible. And it's change direction, repent. Repent, change direction. Turn your cheek, look in a different direction. The reason it's implied and spoken and written in so many different places is because no matter who you are, where you are, how you feel, how things are going or not going, the point is that you're supposed to have an open heart and an open mind and choose a different path. If you're praying and your prayers aren't being answered, why don't you try something different? If there's a certain type of food that gives you bad dreams, if there's a certain type of food that upsets your stomach and you spend all evening and most of the early morning in the bathroom, well, no matter how good it tastes or no matter how much you like it, you will repent. You'll change. You won't eat it because it doesn't suit you. It doesn't do anything positive for you. Oh, it tastes good, but I'm going to pay for this in about 6-8 hours. Why? How come nobody looks at their relationship with the guys that way? Because, Jim, one of the biggest hurdles that you're finding when you're out pasteurizing is people are frustrated on many levels in many different ways, and sometimes they know they're frustrated. Sometimes they don't know they're frustrated, but whether they know they're frustrated or not, the bottom line is they don't know how to deal with that frustration. They don't know how to get past it. It's almost like a bridge too far that they just can't cross.
Yeah, there's a lot of frustration out there, and I've run into it myself as well, which just says the same thing as those that are frustrated. We've been indoctrinated in religion for such a long period of time that now that we're hearing something that has such relevance to our life, there's a learning curve for people that really want God to learn how to make application, something that we've never really done in a spiritual sense. Now, BJ, we've done application in a physical sense, a works of the flesh. That's something that, if you think about it, folks, go back, if some of you have any type of track record like I do, where I go back where I was 4 years old. I was brought up in the church. I was brought up going to services Sunday and Wednesday religiously. And in one sense, I'm glad for it. But on the other hand, what if you've been trained all those years to put more physical effort into a religious atmosphere? See, this is what constitutes some of the sayings that we've had for the last 4 years or last couple of years on the show. And that is, you can't take God and try to get him to come and validate your worldly mentality and your worldly choices. You have to leave those, repent from those, change your reality, and then go to God. And this actually has so much to do with people even having a relationship with God in the first place.
Well, it's like I said before the show, people expect and want, first of all, they pray for things that really shouldn't be prayed for. They're ridiculous prayers. And then second thing happens is they want grace. They want the love and power, the limitless love and endless power of God. They want it to fit their lives like a glove. They really don't understand that there's nothing good of the reality that we live in.
Right.
They don't really get it that if you compare yourself to Adam and Eve before the apple tree or after the apple tree and see which one of those sounds more like a reality that is what you think is real.
Right.
Well, obviously, it's after the apple tree. It's the punishment, the sin of Adam and Eve. We're living their punishment. Why would grace have anything to do with that punishment?
Right.
It would be the opposite. You need to change. You need to repent. You need to come to God. God's not going to come to you because your reality is not the reality of heaven.
Right. Right.
And frankly, our reality is not even the reality of hell. If it was, the whole book of Revelations would be pointless. And in Revelations, it clearly shows that everything that we hold dear and the reality we have is what?
Of the world is going to be gone.
It's gone. It's gone, and it's gone for everybody's benefit.
Yeah, if you wanted to
heaven
think
and
of,
hell.
You know, people talk about revivals and
right.
And fresh anointings that will come in the last day and the glory of God. Well, I don't have a problem with that. But here's how I believe it'll come if you want to see another revival to this planet, another revival to America. It'll probably come when things get bad enough that all the things that we've actually been holding on to, we no longer have them, and all you got left is to call on God. And God's always been so gracious to actually move upon people that are open and desirous.
I don't disagree what you just said, but I think for things in, now we have people listening all over the globe.
Right.
So, and I would never go to Europe until there was a bridge.
Yeah, right.
Because, you know, if I can't take a pickup truck and a gun and a bag of candy and my dog, I don't see any reason to go. But the places that I have been, let's just say right now, I'm talking about the United States of America. For what you to say to come to pass, which I agree, you're right, there would not be any government. It would be like a made for TV Sunday night miniseries called End of Times. Total anarchy.
Right.
Total, you know, I mean, a cross between an earthquake movie, a hurricane movie, and the zombie apocalypse.
Right.
And you know, all rolled into a really bad Civil War movie. Literally.
Uh-huh.
One step below the book of Revelations. But I agree with you, but I think that we've got a long ways to go as far as how low can we go. But the history of man shows this. You look at the Romans, you look at the Greeks, you look at the Egyptians, you look at the Mayans, the Incas, you look at any the Orient, you look at any of the great world-changing, reality-based civilizations under the time of man.
Right.
They all followed the same path of destruction. And we're on that road.
Yeah.
And we're on that road going at a pretty good mile per hour pace.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that that people need to come to terms with the fact that no matter how good they are to themselves, their family, and their neighbors, no matter how good their personal hygiene is, no matter how clean their house is, that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about, who are you? Are you a human being, or are you a child of Christ?
Right.
Because you literally should choose. Now, notice I didn't say you need to choose, or did I say you have to choose? I said choose.
Right.
See, that's part of the problem. People don't realize that they just can't want or worship God into their lives. They need to take those steps. Are you really saved? Are you truly reborn? Do you have some type of emotional and mental and spiritual forward progress reaching out to the guys? Or are you just sitting back in a comfortable chair with your church shoes saying, God is good, God is great, amen?
Yeah, well, and of course tonight, you know, I believe this subject's also going to reach what I see because of my involvement with people, you know, that are going to services constantly, is that there is a very, I'd say, healthy group of people that are really wanting to go further, that really want a relationship with God. Most of them don't recognize that to have a relationship with God means on the seesaw or the balance scale, if your relationship with God is low, it's because your relationship to something else is high. So there's something else in your life. So in other words, to turn that tide or to make that change, to repent, is to lose value in something that is so important to you so that God can be important. But I'm finding that there's a healthy group of people where I go, when I go to places,
right,
that really do want God in their life. And the ones that really love what we're talking about, there's a lot of them that are frustrated.
Well, and I think that frustration is well deserved. I think they've earned it.
Well, I agree with you.
I think they've earned that frustration because, I say this all the time in off the radio here on the ranch. Somebody will say, "Well, I was too busy to call," and I just look at them and I say, "Well, that's just crap. That's wrong."
Mm-hmm.
And they go, "Well, what do you mean?" And I said, "I've never met anybody who wasn't locked up in jail or who wasn't on their deathbed who had a cell phone, that if they wanted to make a call, that it was important enough to them, they didn't make that call."
Right.
I mean, there's no such thing as too busy. If you really want to do something, you make time. We've talked about that
right.
on the show.
Right.
Nobody can make you, if somebody says, "Well, I didn't want to go to the party. I didn't have a choice. I went to the party." No, that's not true. You just chose it was easier to go to the party than it was to say, "I don't like those people. I'd rather stay home by myself with microwave popcorn and play video games than go to these stupid people's party." It was easier for you to say that. So you had a bad time, and you were a cloud over everybody else's good time because you chose to go, and then you chose to be a little baby and whimper about it and say, "Oh, I don't like this party. Oh, I told you it wasn't any fun." You weren't strong enough in your convictions to say no
right.
and stay home. So don't tell me you didn't have a choice.
Right.
That's part of the problem, I think, in people's frustrations. And I mean, I think this conversation right now is one of those few times on the show that it transcends. It isn't just about talking about grace and God and having a relationship.
Everything.
I think what we're talking about now with frustration and choices, I think you can apply it to potting plants, to painting the house, to losing weight, to teaching your dog not to scoot on the rug. It's all about conviction and about understanding, are you committed, and exactly how do you prove of your commitment. What are you doing? You know, actions speak louder than words. I mean, you talk the talk, but can you walk the walk?
Right. Well, you know, you made a comment earlier. I wrote it down. It was about, for instance, people will make decisions as Christians, and they'll have prayers. But what's really in their heart is something else.
Yeah, I told you that before the show. You wrote that down?
Yeah, and it would be as though the guys were saying, but that's not what's in your heart. In other words, you're praying for something that you want, but your whole world and your reality is nothing but the flesh and other things that have greater importance to you. So that's where conviction, it's not real.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. I was talking to, he's not a friend, but he's a neighbor. He's got some land on the same road that the ranch is on. And we don't share fence lines, thank goodness, because he don't take care of his fences. But, I mean, he's close enough that, you know, we talk about weed control.
Right.
And, you know, shooting coyotes and stuff. Because we're close enough to where that kind of stuff is a mutual thing. And he was telling me about how he says, my wife is impossible. I says, what? Because he's always complaining about his wife. And I says, really? I says, why is she impossible today? What's the deal was? And he says, well, she tells me that I don't love her and I don't love the family. That they come second behind what I want to do. And I says, well, what have you been doing lately? And he says, well, it doesn't make any sense to spend $22,000 on dirt bikes and not take them out to the sands in western Oklahoma, to the sand dunes and go dirt biking. He says, it doesn't make any sense to just have all this money tied up in dirt bikes and not ride dirt bikes whenever you can. I says, well, don't you see what you're doing? And he says, what? And I says, well, did somebody take a gun and make you go down to the Japanese motorcycle store and buy a Jap bike and then take it out, you know? And I says, well, did you have them for the kids? And he says, no. And I says, well, do you have one for your wife? And he goes, well, no. And I says, what? And he says, well, I bought two for me. And I go, why do you need two? And he says, well, one's for this and one's for that. And I mean, I understand specialty stuff. That's why I have two pickup trucks. And so, you know, I said, okay, I get it. I says, I understand. Specialty reasons for stuff. And I says, well, you've eliminated your family from the dirt bike thing. I says, what about four-wheelers or a UTV for mom? They make them with air conditioning and power steering, you know,
right.
And cabs. I says, I got one with a cab and a heater in it. And he says, well, this is my time. And I says, well, I says, you're lucky you're married. He says, why? And I says, if I was married to you, I says, I would dump you so fast. He says, why? And I says, well, you literally just told me you spent $22,000 on machines that you don't share with your family, that you have no intentions. I says, you act like you're me, just single and footloose and fancy free.
Right.
And he says, well, I love my family. Look what all I do for them. And he says, I put food on the table and I provide. And my daughter's got a nice looking pickup truck. And I just did this. And I go, I says, you just don't get it. And he says, well, I guess I don't. And I says, no. And he doesn't.
Uh-huh.
Well, apply that situation to a relationship with the guys.
Yeah, and you're praying a prayer.
You're saying God is good, God is great, you dress the part, you talk the part, you're always quoting scripture, you got a little fish bumper sticker on the back of your car, and you're always carrying a book with you, and everybody just thinks that you are a devout Christian, and you don't like foul language, and there's jokes at work that, you know, I mean, everybody just says, oh, if there's anybody going to heaven, it's them, that kind of person.
Right.
But yet, what's in your heart?
Yeah.
What's the motor that is propelling you through the world? Is it
right.
Is it a godlike motor? Is it a Christian motor? Or is it a worldly flesh motor? What is your motivation? What is behind it?
Yeah.
You know, it's like they say, you can't judge a book by its cover. Well, the guys aren't interested in the cover. The guys are interested on what's printed on the page.
Right.
And just because the cover looks right, that doesn't mean that the message on the page, if we were all books, is a Christian message, is Christ-like.
Yeah.
We got a text, two texts. It says, a needful topic. Oh, this is an interesting question. It says, what do you see happening in the United States of America? And then it says, thanks. I don't know. What do you think they mean? What do you see happening? Do they mean good things, bad things?
Well, yeah. What do they think? What do you see happening future-wise?
Well, tomorrow...
this is going to be good.
What do you mean? Why? You don't even know what I'm going to say.
Yeah, I do.
Okay, tomorrow, April 15th, happens to be National Rubber Eraser Day. No, I'm serious. Tomorrow is National Rubber Eraser Day. So if you don't have a rubber eraser, support National Rubber Eraser Day, April 15th, and go out and buy a rubber eraser. So that's what's happening in the U.S. What do you think is happening in the U.S. in the future?
Tomorrow, pay your taxes.
Well, there's a buzzkill.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, why would you bring something up like that?
Yeah.
On a feel-good show.
Yeah, that's. This isn't just a feel-good show. How often do people feel good by listening to what we say?
Well, I don't know. Do you think they ever do?
Very rarely.
We got some emails here. We got a text that just says, feel free to read this on the air. God is good all the time, and your show has caused me to realize that I need to recognize it all the time. And then it says, T-U-R-N-I. So they were going to say something else, and their text was too long. Speaking of text messages, if you want to text the show, we love text messages and emails. The way you text the show, it's just like texting somebody else's cell phone, but the first word that you have to type in your text has to be the word grace. So you start your message off with the word grace, and then you finish your text message, and when you press the send button and your machine asks you for a number, it's just 69302, just five numbers. No one, no area code. It's just 69302. And rumor has it that you get a message back from Ranger. We got some emails here. We got one email that came in 31 minutes ago. It says, hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. I heard Jim for the first time while watching a live stream of his Friday morning session at the Front United Conference in Texas. Do you know what that is?
Yeah, in Plano.
In Plano, Texas?
That's a few weeks ago, yeah.
They make tackle boxes in Plano, Texas.
Oh, really?
Called Plano Tackle Box. They're really good.
Hmm.
Two words, mind blown. I had to hear more. After many YouTube videos of Jim talking about grace and recalling stories about a cowboy named BJ, I finally searched for the radio show. And then it says, no more of Jim's hearsay. I just had to hear BJ represent himself. Laugh out loud.
What? Laugh out loud. They laughed.
I don't know. What do you say behind my back? What do you say?
No telling. I don't know. I'm not.
What do you mean you don't know? No telling. What are you talking about? You talk about me when you go to these places? I hope it's something no wonder I'm not getting any snacks. You're telling people false things about me, so they don't want to. They say, oh, man, Jim just said some bad things. There's no way we're going to give any candy to that.
I just tell everybody send the snacks to my address.
That's I believe. It says, I listened to several archive shows a day for a couple weeks now and was able to catch up you live last Tuesday. Looking forward to tonight. Thank you both for your time and honesty. Grace. Really, everything about Jesus is so much more simpler than I was believing. I'm finally opening my heart to Dad God, and he is becoming more real to me every day in every way. Thanks again. This is from Angela that's in Lincoln, California. You ever been to Lincoln, California?
Nope.
If memory serves me correctly, Lincoln, California is in... Well, I know it's in Placer County somewhere. I want to say it's around Sacramento.
Okay.
I'm guessing. you know, because it's been a while since I've been out there, but...
I've been to Sacramento.
There used to be a really good barbecue place in Sacramento. Kicked me out. Something about skunk smell, mud, dirt.
Oh, really?
Dress code. Many years ago. Okay, we got another text. It says, turning my focus on the unseen has been a challenge for me that your show has awakened me to. Love in Christ. This is from Matthew in Granbury, Texas. Okay, we got another email here. It came in 20 minutes ago. It says, things are awe-inspiring. Hi, Jim, BJ, and Ranger. Julie, Gabriella, and I are listening live tonight from downtown Troy, Montana. What an awesome time to be alive. God's love is so amazing. Prayers are being answered and graces everywhere. We loved last week's show and are looking forward to hear what you have for us tonight. Don't hold anything back. Thanks and blessings. Will. And these are the people that used to be around Yosemite.
Yosemite, yeah.
So, folks, if you want to send an email, it's pretty simple. It's the name of the radio show, The Abiding Presence, at the letter G, G as in Grandma's Gravy, G, gmail.com. The Abiding Presence at gmail.com. I told you how to do a text message. If you go to the radio show's website, theabidingpresence.com, the contacts page gives you all the information on how to... be a part of the show, even if you just want to say hello. We're talking about the frustrations. We're talking about actually doing a self-diagnostic test to look at yourself in the most unflattering and most insulting, absolute way, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, this is not something for that you want to like go to school or work and talk about. We're talking about behind closed doors, really peeling away the layers of yourself like an onion or a banana, and really understanding what is your motivation, what are your desires, exactly what are you trying to accomplish
right.
by having a relationship with God.
Yeah, I mean, you think about your statement about how honest you have to be. Look at how Jesus opened up the Pharisees. Of course, they weren't honest, and this is the reason why he was so hard on them, but look at what he said over here in Matthew 23, 25, and 6 and 7. And this is in the Message Bible. It says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees. And then he calls them hypocrites. For you cleanse the outside of the cup and dish, but inside are full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and the outside of them may be clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites. For you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness. Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. And of course, this is just the beginning. That whole 23rd chapter, Jesus really lays into the Pharisees. But that just gives you an idea of when BJ says, be open and honest with yourself. Be that honest with yourself.
Well, I want you to read that again, but I want you to read it really slow because every once in a while I'm going to say stop. So
okay.
Tell everybody where that is again.
Well, Matthew 23, 25 to 28 in the Message. And it says, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you cleanse the outside of the cup.
Okay, stop. Okay. So what it's saying is, shame on you, be careful, because you're concerned and focused on your outward appearance and how the world perceives you.
Right.
Okay, then go on.
It says, but inside you are full of extortion and self-indulgence.
Okay, stop. But your true self, how you really think and how you really feel, hasn't changed at all.
Right.
And remember... I like to mention this so that everybody can hear it once in a while, and that is how you the feelings that you have, the feelings and emotions that you really have, they kind of guide and design the thoughts that you have, and the thoughts that you have, the ideas, the thoughts. The things that you think about doing or saying, Well, those are the seeds. That's the design, the architecture of your actions. What you really say, the words that come out of your mouth, and what you really do with your hands and your body and how you interact with people. And that's where... now, Jim, I want you to find that other passage where it talks about cutting your tongue off, cutting your hands off. Find that one.
Okay.
And there's, Jim's going to read scripture to you that most people find really violent, really absurd, and a lot of times they say, well, yeah, I know they used to stone people to death for stealing and adultery, and yeah, if they caught a thief, they would cut his hand off. But I want you to see how one scripture is far removed from another scripture, but yet the message is literally the same. They're only worded differently to try to hammer home the point, no matter what you're feeling or where you are or who you are. Did you find it?
Yeah, it's over in Matthew 9, 43 to 44, and it's in the New King James. It says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off.
Okay, stop. Think of that. If your hand causes you to sin, if you steal, if you hurt somebody, cut your hand off. If you're just thinking about it, go on.
It is better for you to enter into life maimed rather than having two hands and go to hell.
In other words, the body means nothing. There's nothing good of the flesh. There's nothing good of the world. If you have to cut your hands off to become a better person and to have a better heart and to have better thoughts and feelings and to do less sinful things, that's okay with the guys, because it isn't about your body. It's about what's in your heart, your spirit.
Right.
Okay, go on.
It goes, if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter into life lame rather than having 2 feet to be cast into hell.
Same thing as the hands.
And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. It's better for you to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye rather than having 2 eyes and be cast into hell.
Go on.
And then it goes on to say...
The tongue.
Well, this one says here, for everyone will be seasoned with fire, and every sacrifice will be seasoned with salt. Salt is good, but if salt loses its flavor, how will you season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another.
Now, so
that's a different passage, but anyhow.
Now go back and read the first one, not of this, but the other passage that talks about, the one that was in the message.
Oh, you want
the message one?
Yeah. Well, it goes on to say, "You are like hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs, which appear beautifully outwardly, but inside are full of dead man's bones and all uncleanness."
So, in other words, see, it's like what we talked about at the beginning of the show. We are being judged as books, but it isn't about our cover; it's about our content.
Right.
It's about what's written on the pages of our lives and our choices.
But the word here that's used constantly is you appear. So see, to fleshly, worldly people, it's about appearance.
And see, and think about this. How many people go somewhere on a Sunday to appease family members or their boss or their neighborhood or family, and they belong to some religious organization because it's what you do on a Sunday? And people would think bad of you if you didn't go. But yet the whole time that you're in that building with those people, your thoughts and feelings are somewhere else. How would you look upon that person if you were one of the guys, if you were God, Jesus, grace, or the Holy Spirit? How serious would you take that person's prayers? If someone is married and they've got a false internet dating site, what do you call those?
I don't know.
Profiles, whatever. Okay. You're on an internet dating site and you got a false name and a false address and you're just flirting and just talking to people and you'd never think about doing it. Well, look at the time and energy that you're spending that has nothing to do with your husband, wife, boyfriend, or girlfriend.
Right.
This guy spends $22,000 on dirt bikes, and yet he's not spending any time with his family. It's about the long look. It's not about the short term, about what you want to do today or how you're feeling right now. It's about what do these small little innocent choices do that sets you on a road, on a path. Is it a righteous path that helps you go to heaven and gives your prayers accuracy and efficiency and effectiveness? Or is it a path that seems okay, that doesn't seem sinful, but yet it just slowly takes you farther and farther and farther away from the guys, all under the guise that it seems shiny and clean and good and wholesome on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But yet on the inside, it's not serving anybody but the world and the flesh, which means that the outside's clean, but the inside is filthy.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. You know, the word frustrate that we're talking about tonight, let me just bring that up in the Greek and share with you what it means here. And I'm looking at the passage in Galatians chapter 2, verse 21, that talks about the righteousness by the works of the flesh and the law. And if that's how it comes, if your righteousness comes by the law, then you frustrate the grace of God. So the word frustrate here means it's a derivative of another word, and it means to set aside or to disesteem, to neutralize or violate. It means to cast off or despise, to annul, frustrate, to bring to naught or to reject. So notice what it's saying. It says that by living out of the flesh and the world, by making it about all the things that you're doing, trying to even have a relationship with God, you actually disesteem or neutralize the grace of God or your relationship. You cast off or despise or disannul or bring to naught or reject. That's a harsh word. The very God that you're endeavoring to find by doing it through the flesh, working so hard to try to get God to be more real to you, you actually, it's kind of like the law of diminishing returns. It works against you. And you're actually rejecting him. And I want to use a verse of scripture to validate this. It's over in 1 John and chapter 2 and verse 15. And it's in the Message Bible. And listen to what this says. It says, don't love the world's ways. Don't love the world's goods. Love of the world squeezes out love for the Father. Now notice, if you put all this in context, this is really good, because if we really don't know ourselves, look at how easy it is to try, or if we've been religiousized for years and we just feel like we've got to do more for God to get God to answer a prayer. What are we really doing? We're putting our love and we're putting our affection in the world's ways, in the world's goods, and it does the opposite of what we want. It squeezes out the love for the Father. Then I'm going to finish this. It says, practically everything that goes on in the world, wanting your own way, wanting everything for yourself, wanting to appear important, it has nothing to do with the Father. And the next part is what you need to hear. It just isolates you from him. This thought of it isolating you from him is the exact same thing Paul's saying when he says, if you're going to do everything in your own flesh, you're going to frustrate or isolate yourself from the grace of God.
One tip, one suggestion. No, that's not right. Not tip, not suggestion. Those aren't the right words. One thing to look forward to that I can guarantee you is when you will know when you repent instantaneously. When you start to change how you feel and how you think, and all of a sudden you start to have a new type of, I guess you'd say, child of God thought process. It is so fast, it's like blinking your eyes. You immediately feel grace. It's like It's literally like being asleep and someone takes a big bucket of ice cold water and they pull the sheet back and you're asleep and all of a sudden you're just drowning in ice cold water. It's such a fast shock that you weren't even thinking about it. That's what happens when you repent. And I know that sounds kind of surprising, but sadly, it isn't surprising because we're born with grace. Jesus' blood is paid for all of our sins, and all of our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, which means that this bucket of cold water that I'm talking about, it was thrown on us the second we were born. It's just that the world and the choices and the way we live our lives prevents us from feeling that splash of cold water. And so when you repent and you wonder if the thoughts and feelings you're having are like a child of God and the choices you're starting to make, that's when you feel that splash of cold water, the love of the guys. And it's instantaneous and it's overwhelming and it feels so natural and it is so exciting and so inviting that it's addicting.
Yeah.
And you find yourself doing and saying things and feeling things that you literally just take a moment and you say, where'd that come from? I've never done that before, or I've never felt that way. I've never looked at things and seen them this way.
Wow.
And all of a sudden, it dawns on you, why am I not praying as much as I normally do? And then all of a sudden you realize, well, the reason I'm not praying so much is I don't seem to have anything to pray for. And then you go, wait a minute. Grace is doing these things. And then all of a sudden, you get this really spooky feeling. And the hair stands up on the nape of your neck under your collar. And all of a sudden, you remember that passage. Don't worry about anything. If I take care of the birds and the flowers of the field, don't worry about where you sleep, what you wear, what you eat. If I take care of those things, why wouldn't I take care of my children? And then all of a sudden, you're just going to go, oh, my gosh, this is so easy. And this is the process of repenting, that change. This is what it really means to be reborn as a child of God, to have this, to literally, it's like stopping in the middle of a four-way intersection, and instead of turning left, you choose and you go right, and you go twice as fast, and there's no speed bumps, and you don't even have to slow down. You never have to go to the bathroom. You never get tired. The gas never needs to be refilled. You don't have flat tires. You just drive, and every song on the radio is your favorite song. That's what we're talking about here. That's the motivation to change, to repent.
Well, you know, the scriptures tell us that God gives grace to the humble. And you can say the word gives means he supplies and furnishes grace for the humble. So think about that. That doesn't mean you have to go looking for it once you repent. You got to ask God to give you grace once you repent. It means the very moment that your heart is open and your mind is open to change, to new feelings, to new emotions, to new thoughts, instantly God's grace is furnished to you. It's supplied to you for you to use and for you to experience God. Remember, this show is not about a self-help show. This isn't about improving your willpower. This isn't about just trying to make you make better choices. This is about an empowerment of God in your life. It's about a relationship where God in your life, if you really step back for a moment, BJ, and look at the Bible in a broad stroke. There's different ways of looking at it in a broad stroke. One of the ways to look at it is, it's a book about God being involved with man. And there's not a lot of men that he's able to be involved with, because there's not a lot that have invited him or have desired him. But if you look at it from a broad perspective, God is there to be enjoyed.
We're right back at Genesis. Like I always say, people have no idea the importance of the book of Genesis. And the point is, there's no mention in Genesis of Adam and Eve doing anything but what? Spending time with God.
Right.
The only time they got busy and they had trials and tribulations is what? When they were in trouble, when they were punished. And it's like I says, if you want to know if you're on the right path and if things are going in a way of a godly, holy, spiritual way, just look at your life and compare it. Am I closer to Adam and Eve before or after the apple tree? And I think, I don't know, I think it should be self-help. I think we can come out with a series of pamphlets and DVDs that people can buy, and we take major credit cards, and we want you to feel good, folks. We're here to make you feel good and feel happy. And for $19.95, we'll be glad to sell you our books and our DVDs, and don't forget our personal appearances around the country, and get your tickets fast because it'll be sold out, and don't forget our autographed socks and underwear and T-shirt collection.
Sure, I mean, that would be one way to do it.
You know, I keep calling those 800 numbers.
Well, you do.
I called one last night at 3:00 in the morning.
You did?
Hey, this guy on television said all I had to do was call this 800 number and I would be saved.
What happened?
They hung up on me.
Hmm.
When I told them that my I told him I didn't have any credit cards and that I was calling from a payphone, and I just had seen this guy through the window of an appliance store on a TV, and that I was just wanted to talk to somebody because I was homeless, broken, hungry. They hung up on me.
Hmm.
So I guess I, as a homeless person, I wasn't... Minimum donation was $25. They says, well, do you have $25? We take money orders. And I said, I don't have any money. I'm broke. And that's when they hung up.
Huh.
So
it sounded real loving, didn't it?
Well, I thought so. Wow. I looked at the guys and I said, see, I told you. I don't even know why you guys have me, you know, go through these things. And then they showed me why.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, $25.
Wow.
But they send you a thank you note in the mail with a picture of the person who's in charge.
That's big of them.
It gets autographed if you give 50.
Oh, my goodness.
So 25, you get a photograph.
If you give 100, do they give you a gift certificate?
What was 100? Because I was talking to Ranger about the $50 autograph.
Hmm.
You know, I said, because, you know, I talked to Ranger like she's a person. Uh-huh. You know, and I was saying, Ranger, you know, wake up. You got to listen to this crap. That's what I said. I said, I said, wake up. And she's on the couch and she yawns and she looks at me like, you know, it's the middle of the night. I'm dreaming about catching a barn mouse. You know? I said, Ranger, you got to listen to this. I said, you got to listen to this guy. I says, and I said, yeah.
Oh,
And then after it was over, I looked at Ranger and I says, Ranger, I don't know where this guy's going, but he's not going. He's not going to heaven. I said, I don't know where he's going, but he's not going to heaven. But yeah, it was really bad. We got a text that says BJ had all that good stuff when first saved. That's what somebody sent. We got an email that came in. It says, hello, Ranger and company. I guess that's me and you, right? We're the company.
We're the company.
I love the show, and I'm truly blessed by the stuff you share. Stuff? He probably means it in a good way, right?
Yeah, in a good way. Yeah.
Okay. Stuff you share. My question is, do you have any tips to stay focused on the truth about being healed? I find it very difficult when I go to move and my body is not lining up to what I know is true. He already paid for it, so why the delay? You want to answer first?
Well,
you want me to read it again?
No, I got it.
Okay.
Well, first of all, you know, the way that you wrote the email to me, and this is a part of what people that have been, and you got to hear this, this is a part of what people that have been around religious services, what people call churches all their life, the messages that have been preached. This is what we've been subjected to, is the idea that you accept a truth, but the truth doesn't necessarily change right away. It's going to take a long time for it to change, so you're waiting on the manifestation, so on and so forth. And you've been subjected to that long enough that what the real truth of what we're saying here is you're more tuned into and you're listening to the music of your body than you are tuned into listening to the music of your relationship with God and how real God is, because that's the turning point. If you listen to what BJ was just mentioned a few moments ago, that's when you realize, hey, I haven't even prayed about my body in a week, and I haven't even heard.
Yeah. One thing that the guys pointed out to me recently about emails on your show, Jim, was is that people write emails the way they think and feel and they see things.
Uh-huh.
And so that's why when we read these emails, it sticks out like a barn on fire at midnight,
sure,
to us.
Sore thumb.
Because we don't have a dog in the hunt.
Right.
We can see the clicks off. We can see the distractions because we're not in it. We're just looking at it like a fly on the wall. And I see that in this email. I see a delay. But yet I see the phrase paid for.
Mm-hmm.
I see this kind of teeter-tottering back and forth.
Back and forth.
And see, that's not an insult to this person.
No.
It's literally just looking at it for what it is.
But it's like I said, it's learned behavior. We've been subjected to this for
years.
Are,
it is. And see, having... The reason there are so many different things, or the reason there are so many varied books in the Bible, and the messages are literally exactly the same or so similar that you could read one and ignore several others and get the message, is for that particular reason, to show that your perspective, our perspective as people, seem completely different, but yet there's still the same stumbling block. There's still the same distraction. That there really is only one way to the guys. And the way is the same, but it may seem completely different because of the realities we create for ourselves.
Sure.
That provide various, I mean, a cornucopia, just buckets and buckets and buckets of bizarre realities and choices. And crosses that we all feel that we need to bear, that in reality are just of the flesh and of the world.
Yeah.
And they all can be eliminated and avoided by the same simple changing or repenting, realizing that this isn't working. I might as well try something new. If the tire doesn't get fixed, we won't do it. If a restaurant has bad food, we won't go. If somebody is rude and obnoxious to it, we will stop hanging out with them. Why, when prayers go continually unanswered for years? Why someone has pain for years? Why things aren't going well? Why do you stay with the same type of worship and religious practices? Why? When every indication is, ask and you shall receive. All prayers are granted. All sins are forgiven. Why would you then endure years of testimonies of, no other way to put it, failure to succeed?
Mm-hmm.
What good is it to have every single word of the Bible memorized and yet still feel wanting for more?
Sure.
What does that say? And I can't answer that. Jim can't answer it. Only you can answer it about yourselves, because all of us, including myself and Jim, we need to ask ourselves these questions.
Sure.
And we have to find the answers ourselves, because we're individuals. That makes sense?
Yeah, it did. It's real good.
Did you like it?
Yeah.
Maybe we should have said it on the radio.
Are we on the radio?
You know what? I haven't even checked. Hold on. Let me check.
The messages that have been preached.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, I can.
Subjected to.
That's the
idea.
See, that's
you've
the
always
delay.
Said when the red light's on, my mic's on, so we must be on. Hello? Can anybody hear me? The light's not on, but...
But you can hear yourself?
But I can hear myself.
Okay,
so.
Now look at this. Now look. The red light's on.
Yeah.
Right?
Can you hear? Okay.
Now you couldn't hear yourself, could you?
Right. So.
See, this is the power.
Yeah, it's in the wrong hands, that's for sure.
Well, of course. Have I ever said it was in the right hands? Have I ever? No, I've never said that.
Right.
I've never even inferred that, you know. No.
Well, you know, folks, the things that we're talking about, there's a scripture here that I'm looking at right now, and it's in the New King James, and it's over in 2 Corinthians 6 and 1, and it says, "We then, as workers together with Christ, also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." And I like how Paul puts this, that we don't receive the grace of God in vain. In vain meaning we don't receive the grace of God where it's not fruitful, where it's not working, it's not productive. The grace of God is to enhance your life. Not only did God save you by his grace, but his grace, his ability, his presence in your life is there to enhance your life, to beautify your life. This is the joy of what we're endeavoring to preach on this radio show, is there is a very wonderful, unseen, real power that can be extremely tangible in your life, the grace, the power, the glory, the anointing of God. And that wonderful presence of God can be in vain, it can be frustrated where you don't even use it, you reject it, or it can be wonderfully received, used, and you can have a lot of testimonies in your life and really have some fun. Any more info that's coming in on our show?
We haven't had any more text messages. The way you text the show is the first word you type is grace. And then you type the rest of your message, and when you press the send button, the number you want is 69302. If you send an email to the show, it's the name of the show, The Abiding Presence, all one word, no space, no capital letters, at the letter G, gmail.com.
Listen,
I don't know.
Listen to this.
When we don't get text messages or emails, it makes me wonder if we have anybody listening.
Listen to this verse of scripture again, and let's tie it into what we're talking about, this
okay.
Frustration, people working so hard themselves, and it just shows that their reality is off. It says, "You have become estranged from Christ, you who attempt to be justified by law or by works, doing, being so diligent, trying so hard to have more."
Yeah.
And then it goes on to say, "You have fallen from grace."
Right.
So look at how this thing works. The more effort you put into trying to be something in God, when God's
right.
already given that to you, the more you actually put yourself, build a wall between you and
the
grace
means,
of God.
What it means you've fallen from grace means that you haven't like killed somebody and buried them in the backyard. What it means is that you have realized that there is a God, that there is a heaven and hell, and that there is a divine spark, a spirit within you, and that there is grace, and that there is praying, and prayers can be answered, that you have the knowledge of Christ. That's what they're saying. And then at the same time, it's saying, okay, you have this knowledge. You know that there is a God and the benefits of having a relationship with the guys. You know this. You know it's real, and you know that there is. And yet, you choose incorrectly. You choose to worry about how shiny the car is, that it's got three coats of wax and that the windows are clean and that you put stuff on the tires to make the tires black. And everything about the outside of the car is perfect, except when you open the door, it smells like garbage. And there's trash all over and the seats are ripped. And the padding off of the armrests are gone, and the seat belts are broke. The radio doesn't work. The dash has got so much dust and dirt that you can't even read the gas gauge. So from the outward appearance, you realize that it's important to have a nice car, but you've only worried about the surface. You've ignored the important part about the tires and the oil change and what really makes a car safe to participate. And so that's what that is saying. That's the falling from grace.
Yeah.
Is that you know that there's something better and that there is grace.
Right.
But yet you've chosen to worry and worship about the insignificant outside of it.
Yeah, when you put these verses together that we've used, these phrases that Paul has made mention of, he talked about you frustrate the grace of God. He talked about that the grace of God has become vain or is in vain now. And then he talks here about to fall, the Amplified says, to fall away from grace or to fall from grace. So you put those different things together. When God's grace is what saved us and by his grace we live, folks, you know, this is the part that really we want to drive home tonight, that the very energy that you use to try to have something in God that's already there becomes, in a sense, the very energy that causes you to miss the very thing that's right before your eyes. God's grace is right there. You know, it's almost as though an individual needs to relax.
Yeah.
Step back a moment.
Yep.
You know, remember that passage that we read so much about, BJ, where it talks about the birds and the flowers?
Yep, yep.
Well, Bible says, what I'm trying to get you to do here is to relax and stop spending so much time trying to get something so that you can enjoy what God's endeavoring to give you.
You know that, well, you don't, but you know of the person that's the big shot with, you know, the Catholic Church, you know, that we talk all the time.
Yeah.
And he brought somebody new to meet me. Mm-hmm. And the first person that guy asked was, he says, I've heard your show. And he says, why are you irreverent and why do you make so many jokes and find Christ humorous? And I said, it isn't that I think the guys are humorous or irreverent, I says, but our reality is it's a joke. I says to make light of the human condition and to not take what we think is serious, but to take it in a humorous manner shows how insignificant and temporary it really is.
Yeah.
I says until we're 18 to 22 years of age, we really are not very good for anything but ourselves. We're pretty self-indulgent, mm-hmm. and we really don't participate as a citizen and as a member of society until we're done with high school. And I says, and then we pay taxes, we work, we can contribute and participate. But then all of a sudden, when we're in our late 60s to early 70s, we kind of revert to childlike behavior. We're getting older, we're tired, we realize the folly of our hardworking days, and we understand what's important and not important, and so we really start to have fun again. But the whole thing is over in 75 to 80 years.
Yeah.
And I says, look at the time wasted and what people think are important. I says, see the humor and ridiculousness in that? Because we're talking about the everlasting divine spark.
Yeah, sure.
That we are a spirit. That we're. Sure. I says, why wouldn't the guys find that funny and yeah. and kind of absurd?
Yeah, well, that's why Paul said we look at the things, don't look at the things which you see,
no.
which are temporary. Look at the things which you don't see, which are eternal.
And I feel, I genuinely feel sad for the thousands of people that I see on these just horrendous
shows.
Satellite TV shows,
yeah.
that you see them and they're in these seats and they're crying and they're, you can tell they're gnashing their teeth and they're holding on to each other and you look at them and when it's over, they're just as confused
right.
and upset as they were when they walked into the auditorium.
Yeah, right.
And I think, really? I mean, if I put on a fresh, clean, starched pair of Wranglers, shave, shower, stop at a gas station, and hose off my boots to make sure they're clean, I expect serious return
yeah.
for the extra effort
yeah.
of being shaved and having clean Wranglers on.
Right.
I mean, you know, it better be good food. It better be fun. There better right. be some music to dance to. I expect a return for my effort. But yeah. if I'm going to put on all these clean clothes and prepare for this and schedule a certain time, I'm going to feel like I've been cheated if I don't leave with something earth-shattering different.
Yeah.
And then I ask myself, why aren't these people asking themselves? What am I doing? What's my return for, quote-unquote, time served? Where is that? Because Scripture says, any time you put in, you get so much more, you can't keep track of it.
Sure.
It's like asking God for a glass of water, and there's a knock on the door, and you're on beachfront property. And he says, look, you wanted a drink of water? I decided I'd just give you an ocean. It's so much easier. Let me take care of you. That's grace. We got a text message that says, I can't get over that phone call. I want to cry and find it hard to believe there are organizations out there like that using Jesus' name. Guess I'm naive. Yeah. There it's amazing.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
There
when we don't just say things like about the oven mitts and fork knife
Revelation oven mitts.
Right.
Dead Sea Scroll steak knives.
Right, we don't say that just to be funny.
Last Supper dinnerware.
This type of thing is really ridiculously captivating people where they actually buy into this type of thing.
No, and then let's not forget the 12 apostle pool and patio furniture set for parties. You get 12 chairs, you know, tables, umbrellas, you know.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then, you know, the Last Supper dinnerware.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yep. Well, for 12 people, because, you know.
Right.
How many were at the Last Supper? 12?
Yeah, 12. Well, Jesus made
Did
it.
Did they 13. Have a, like a children's table?
Jesus made it 13.
Did they have a children's table like my grandmother always did?
Until Judas left. No, I think it was a pretty big table. It was an upper room.
Just yeah, like banquet?
Yeah, and they sat down on the ground probably.
Man, I don't
Reclined.
Know.
Reclined.
Really?
Yeah.
Because all the photos or everything, it's like a... They're all in wooden chairs with a big table.
Yeah, I don't think so. I think they're probably more on the ground and just had a big place eating with their hands and, you know.
Who painted the Last Supper? Would that have been
Is that Angela?
Michelangelo?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
But, yeah. So, all right, we got an email. It says, "Hi, Jim and BJ. I've recently started listening to your show after hearing Jim speak in Texas at the IDHA. Is that that?
Yeah, same meeting in Plano.
Okay. I know it's kind of off today's topic. Well, yeah, because we're never off topic. But, Jim, can you please add clarity to the difference between what I heard you teach about healing? It doesn't really exist except in our minds, and the stance of Christian Science that sickness and disease aren't real. Your ministry aren't really. He must mean real. Your ministry has been a big blessing to me. I've been feeding it to myself and family. BJ, your point of view and stories are very relatable for myself and my journey with the Lord. P.S. BJ, every story I heard Jim tell about you was in the best context, always very flattering and engaging." Did you like pay him to say that?
Oh my goodness!
Is he like a a golfing buddy or something?
Did I say things that nice? I can't believe it.
Yeah. Hello. See, now there's just some poor guy in Texas.
I know.
We got another email here.
Do you want me to answer?
I'm sorry. You're right. Yeah, you're right.
Well. As far as your question goes, remember now, God put man in a place of dominion on the earth. In other words, a place of control. And God made man just like himself, creative in nature. You know, we've been talking about the feelings, the emotion lead to thoughts, and those thoughts become, if you would, the blueprint, the architect to the actions and choices that you make. That either allow God to be in your life and you are able to testify to the grace of God, to the wonderful work of Christ, or that shields God from your life, and then you're subject to the way that man actually believes, or the reality that most people believe is the life that we live. So sickness and disease detected in a physical body, it's not that in one sense it's not real. It's real to this world. It's real to the flesh of men who believe in it. But it's not real to God. It's not a spiritual reality. Jesus took your infirmity and he bore your sickness, and God actually believes that you're actually healed. And he says it multiple places. By his stripes you were healed. By his stripes you are healed. Past tense, present tense, and the future tense is you're already healed. And you don't have to worry about being sick. That's a spiritual truth. And so what I was talking about in Plano was to help people realize that we are giving into the wrong reality. And the moment you buy into that, the moment you accept it, then that becomes a part of your feelings, emotions, thoughts, and actions. And look at how people run around all day long, and their week is filled with appointments that they have to make, and money that they have to spend, and drugs that they have to take, and surgeries that they have to have in order to be well from things that Jesus already demolished, he took, he defeated, and that in Christ and in God's view do not even exist. They only exist because man, made in the image of God, has the ability to believe in things and create those realities. So folks, you know, you tie that in together with what we're talking about tonight. And the biggest part that ties in is, what is your reality? How do you see it?
I like that. I don't have anything to add. I really don't.
Good.
I don't see any reason to add anything.
Uh-huh.
We got a text message. We got a clarification. Leonardo da Vinci painted The Last Supper. It's a famous one. It's actually a fresco painted on the wall, not canvas.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody text messaged that. Did you know the Mona Lisa wasn't painted on canvas? It's painted on wood.
Really?
Yep. It's in a special vacuum air-controlled box around it.
Hmm.
That isn't it weird stuff, I know.
Yeah.
We got an email here that came in 10 minutes ago. Folks, this would be a good time to participate in the show with emails and texts. It says, "We are enjoying grace with our grandmother who brought a ginormous train set. with buildings and everything to scale from Oregon. Now that's grace. They didn't say who it was from. But I would say probably a child, the way it sounds.
Huh?
It's kind of written like it might be a girl. I don't know. I like train. Did you have a train set?
Real small. We had maybe something that was.
Never had a train set. Huh. I had somebody gave me a slot car track when I was a kid.
Do you have Hot Wheels?
You know, I still have them. I still have a suitcase that says Hot Wheels on it, like a briefcase.
We played with Hot Wheels forever.
And it's jam-packed full of Hot Wheels in mint condition because I never played with them.
Hmm.
And it was kind of funny because somebody kept buying me Hot Wheels, brand new ones, when they were everywhere.
Uh-huh.
And they bought this briefcase that you put Hot Wheels. It holds a lot. I mean, there's got to be 100 Hot Wheels in there.
Are they all trucks?
Well, they're all kinds. There's cars, race cars. There's all kinds of stuff. And they kept. And my grandmother one time, they said, "Well, he's not playing with his Hot Wheels. They're brand new in the case." And she says, "Well, he takes them out of the package and he puts them in the case and then he closes the case up and puts it in his closet." Well, why isn't he playing with them? And then, and my grandmother, she says, go play with a truck. So I just walked out the door and went out and started up the pickup truck, you know. And
uh-huh.
She said, "Well, why would he want to play with a toy truck or a little tractor when, you know,
he's driving around in one?
He's messing around with full size equipment." Was kind of the gist of it. But okay, we got a message here. It says, "Hey, Ranger Jim and BJ, great show tonight. Shout out to the Yokleys and all the new listeners. Happy birthday to Breakfast Lisa this weekend." Now, is Breakfast Lisa?
Breakfast Ed's.
Is that Breakfast Ed's wife?
Yep.
I wonder if she listens to the show.
Oh, yeah.
She does?
Yeah.
We never heard from her.
Well, she's shy.
It's radio. It's not like television. It's the internet. How much more, you know, far away do you have to be? It says, "Keep up the great work, Breakfast Ed."
Okay. I got some good scriptures that'll help here. It's over in Romans chapter 8, and it's in the Message Bible. And verse 3, listen to this in the next few verses afterwards. It really helps us to see how to get away from this frustration of being so maybe worldly conscious. It says here, "God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son, Jesus personally took on the human condition, entered the distorted mass of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it was by fractured human nature, could never have done that." And of course, we're talking about save man, enhance man's life, bless man. It didn't come by the law, by the commandments that God gave Moses and then all the other law that all those Pharisees added to it. You know, it didn't come by all these rules to try to help man experience God. And it goes on to say the law always ended up being used as a Band-Aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. "And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us." And this is the important part, that there is an embracing of what God is doing in you that's far greater than just your own effort. You know, we make comments all the time. It's about the choices that you make. But the choices that you make that come from the correct reality is what releases God to be able to work in your life.
Do you recall, because I don't, wasn't the homework assignment to read those four books?
Yeah, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
Yeah. I think that's a good time to bring that into tonight's conversation about frustration and perspective, because the homework assignment was to go out and get a book and then read John, Luke, Mark, and Matthew and see the similarities between those four people, right, and how similar their writings are.
Right.
Because it goes to what we're talking about, personal perspective and how you see yourself. Are you all right?
Yep, doing good.
What's going on over there?
Nothing.
Are you dizzy?
No. No, it's just kind of yawning and wiping tears on my eyes.
All right, why are you crying?
I'm not crying. I just...
Is it the revelation that you admitted that you say bad things and that's why I don't get snacks? Are you feeling guilty?
No, I'm not feeling guilty. I'm doing...
Have you come to terms with the
that,
things?
That must be it right there. In fact, you're... You're reminiscent of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the fact that you actually turned it around to John, Luke, Mark, and Matthew just brought tears to my eyes that someone could do that.
Hey,
I'm ambidextrous, you know?
Well, you know I am.
Right.
You've seen it. Okay, we got a clarification here. It says, very funny, BJ. You know it's the Weaver kids. Wow. Boy. Boy, they sure took me to
school. Yeah, they took you to school, didn't they?
Yeah. Yeah. I need to
way
find...
Way to go, Weaver kids. Way to go.
No, don't be encouraging them. It's past their bedtime. Oh, they're homeschooled.
Yeah, that's right.
I need to find out exactly where they live.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, you might have a visitor.
Well, they wouldn't... Well, there wouldn't be any witnesses. They just look out the window and say, Mom, look what happened. Look what happened.
Yeah, right.
And Dad would say... Who would do such a thing?
Our mailbox is down.
Oh, I don't knock mailboxes down. I've never knocked mailboxes down. No, that's not true. I did knock a mailbox over. I backed into it with a manure spreader. I had a flat tire on the tractor, and I wanted to drive home, and I tried to make a U-turn, and the rear tractor tire was flat, and I cut too short as I was backing, and the manure spreader slid on the gravel and took out the neighbor's mailbox.
Hmm.
Nobody ever knew it, though, because I pulled the tractor over, walked up to their house. They weren't home, and got a post hole digger and a shovel, and I put the mailbox back in the ground before they ever got home.
Right.
And so, yeah, nobody ever knew that I had done that. Now, let's think for a second, Jim, about what we've been talking about.
Okay.
Because we haven't received... that many emails or text messages, do you think we're on point? Do you think we're making sense with this? I mean, because unless we get feedback, I'm never really sure if we're making the point. I mean, tonight's point is really to address... The feeling of disconnect from God.
Yeah.
The feeling of, well, what possibly do I have to do different to make this prayer happen? I'm so sick and tired of hearing about grace and how I have it. Where in the world is my grace? I mean, we're talking about the entire bucket full of little things that really haunts somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We're not there. I'm not saying there isn't one single person that's ever listened to your show, Jim, that does not have a desire to go home. I'm not saying there isn't one single person that doesn't want to experience grace on a level where not only they're so past worrying about themselves, they're now using grace to help animals and pets and total strangers.
Yeah.
What my point is to assist for people to be able to make personal adjustments so that the desires and goals they have can be fulfilled.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't a television show, there's not a radio show, and frankly, the Bible isn't going to do it either. There, and I'm not, and Jim's not, and my dog Ranger isn't. The point being is that it's up to each one of us on our own to find out how we feel, what we do with those feelings,
yep.
and how those feelings result in our actions and how we view the world and ourselves.
Well, let's look at the two.
That's a very personal adjustment that has to occur.
Let's look at the two opposites that we talked about before the show. The individual who has feelings and emotions that are wrapped up constantly in the world.
Yeah.
And yet they're trying to be a good Christian, making a Christian prayer, but really where their heart is wrapped right. up in the world. Now take the opposite of that. You've got a guy that's going on a three-day journey with a servant and with his son and brought along firewood because he's getting ready to do something that the world would say is absolutely absurd. It's called murder. He's getting ready to kill his son, burn him into ashes, and watch God raise him up from the dead. But where are his feelings and his emotion? Where are his thoughts? Well, you can see where they are when he talked to the servant. He said, "The boy and I are going to go over and worship, and we'll be back." Well, his feelings and thoughts and emotions are with God. And then what happened? He didn't have to do that. God stopped him. And he received what? An amazing testimony with his son being fully and completely perfect in every way. He didn't have to put a knife in him. I know that's drastic, but my point is this. When your thoughts and emotions and your feelings and everything about who you really are, and this is where we have to be honest with ourselves, the assessments that we're making, finding out the fork experiment here, homework for the last few weeks and all that we've done, all of that contributes to what? You finding out where your real convictions are. And if your real convictions lay in the arena of the flesh and the world, then that's where the disconnect comes when you make prayers.
Yeah, each person really needs to take control. And I think for a lot of people, that's hard to have control, and I really never even thought about this until I started going home and talking with the guys because, well, you know, I get up every day at a different time, I go to bed at a different time, I eat when I'm hungry, I don't do something unless I absolutely want to do it. You know this about me. I mean, I am basically so unstructured on every level.
Right.
Time and date virtually mean nothing other than the two radio shows.
Right.
Well, most people do not have that type of leniency. I mean, they have alarm clocks that go off. They get up at the same time every day. They do the same thing every morning. They wear the same type of clothes. They got to do this. They got to do that. Their lives are nothing but structure and nothing but habits and continual things the same. And even their free time when they're not working has a lot of restrictions and structure to it for the same reasons, time and money restraints. I think that helps people to fail in changing. I think it really slows someone's ability to understand what it means to change and repent. Because their lives have so many routines. Because the first thing they would say is, well, I got to be to work at a certain time. The kids have to be to school at a certain time. Mm-hmm. I have bills to pay. I have responsibilities. Mm-hmm. You are on a large ranch with a dog. Yeah, you can do what you want when you want. My life isn't like that. On the surface, that is a very good point.
Right.
On the surface.
Mm-hmm.
But once again, it's about little choices and perspective that keeps us from understanding what is in our way and what is available to every single one of us. I think that that people really need to see how they limit themselves,
mm-hmm.
and to see what they really think is I mean, and it sounds kind of crass, but it's really true. Seriously? A mortgage payment, a telephone bill, and cable TV is keeping you from the guys? If it wasn't you and someone said, I can't talk to Jesus because tomorrow is the 15th of the month and I have to pay the water bill. If it wasn't you and someone said that, you would look at him and say, what?
Mm-hmm.
What? The water bill is keeping you from Jesus? I'm sorry, Jesus. I would really like to have a conversation with you. I'd really like to enjoy grace. But I have to go to work because tomorrow, Wednesday the 15th, it's the water bill day.
Right.
And they can't see it because they're in the dust. They're in the moment. They're caught up. They don't see the true irony of such a thing. We got an email here that says came in 6 minutes ago. Oh, we got two of them actually. It says, I've come to be amazed at how much Christians have created in the form of sickness and problems through faith that these things are real because the body provides proof. But how few things we have trusted God for that have already been completed, such as healing, provisions, etc. I'm so thankful that we are learning to see what is real through God's Word and stepping into grace and seeing manifestation. So great to learn the truth. Thanks. This is from Will. Now we have another email here. Came in 6 minutes ago. It says, Hi, I just recently starting watching Jim while seeking a way to have a more intimate and closer relationship with God. My son and I have just watched the reality sessions up to 5 and 6 today. Do you know what she's talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Is that some kind of...
Yeah, it's on Facebook.
Okay. And we are excited about beginning to put into practice the 5 pillars of connectedness?
Yeah, you know, Book of Genesis, Book of Revelation.
Oh, okay.
You know.
My son was shot defending God this past December and was blinded. God told him that he would be okay, and he has been more than okay. His faith and strength have been inspiring to everyone he has encouraged. If it is possible for you guys to give him a call sometime, we have seen God's grace and abundance in every area except healing. Is it possible for that another purpose may be yet to be served?
No. It's just, I mean, if think of it like a math problem and do the problem. And you can see that because of what happened, it's easier for you to put most of your feeling and emotion and thought into what's not working than it is to put feelings, thoughts, and emotion into what is working. So in areas where there's no conflict, it's easy to see the grace of God. Well, the grace right. of God is just as real otherwise. It's just that the hang-up is how you see it.
Okay. It says, God told him that he would be okay, and he has been more than okay. His faith and strength have been inspiring to everyone he has encountered. Okay, since he has a relationship with the guys and it's inspiring, and he's more than okay, I would never call this guy. I wouldn't get in his way. That's mm-hmm. that's like saying that this guy has a great relationship with his dad. And they're having wonderful conversations, and it's a beautiful thing. And I'm going to interrupt it and say, well, this is what I think, and do you see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I if if he has this relationship and he's more than okay, and his faith and strength have been inspiring to everyone he has encountered, I think that's great. I think that's good. And I think the last thing that anybody needs to do is get in the middle of that.
Yeah.
That's the problem with organized religion in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Is that someone's on the right track, they have a relationship with the guys, they're enjoying grace, and supposedly they're supposed to be total strangers, are going to make it better. That is completely contradictory in the scripture that says, when you pray, go in your room and close the door.
Mm-hmm.
Ask your Father in private. He will answer you in private. Where in that statement does it say, come on and join the bandwagon of my relationship with Christ?
Right.
That's the way I answer that.
Was there another one?
No, we had the one that talked about it's so great to learn the truth from Will,
okay.
And then we had
Got
this
it.
One from
it.
Someone, yeah. But let me check. I'm checking all the...
While you're checking that, let me just finish reading something here in Romans 8, verse 5. It says, those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust, this is really good, those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into the spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is opposite of focusing on God. Well, there you have it. This is really important, and this is a part of what we're talking about tonight with frustration, is... if you're frustrated, it's because you're in the way. And your effort is actually causing you to be what? Walled off from the grace of God. That's how it works, or that's how it doesn't work. You know, Aaron and I read some really good material on raising kids. And one of the things it talked about is if your children are frustrated, it's because all you've done is tell them what to do or what not to do. You
right.
haven't explained to them the reasons why, so they
yeah.
can learn to make choices themselves. So if you have frustrated kids, you're just hammering them with do this, don't do that, stop this, stop that, instead of explaining to them what would really help them to make their own choices.
I think that happens in sermons, don't you?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's exactly what
yeah.
it's talking about here. The frustrations come from us just putting ourselves in, I haven't done enough, I haven't read enough, I haven't prayed enough, I got to
yeah.
do more, I need to do this and that, and you get frustrated if you don't see the results. And what the scripture's trying to tell you is, if you just relax, those who trust God find that God's there.
Before I ever went home, before I ever started having conversations with the guys, one of the biggest problems that I had was scripture, and people would say that we were born with grace, that Jesus' sacrifice was to pay for all our sins.
Right.
And that all of our sins, past, present, and future, were forgiven.
Right.
And then I would ask myself, well, there's nothing left to do. Why am I being given this never-ending list of what to say and what to do and things?
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's free.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like someone invites me over for dinner, and all I have to do is make sure my shoes are clean when I walk in the house, wash my hands, sit down and eat. But
yeah.
yet they're telling me that I have to go find the food, raise the food, harvest the food, prepare it and cook it, and build the crockery to eat off of. But yet they said, just come on over and eat.
Yeah, it's almost like the misleading advertisements that
yes,
you get.
Yes, it's contradictory.
Make it look like it's free, but it's only free if you don't like it and you want to send it back.
Okay, we got an email here. It says, what's your comment about people who feel blessed because of their prescriptions? That, like, I hear this all the time. Thank you, Jesus, for my prescription. I'm blessed that this medication is working. What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I look at that and I say this. That's where they're at. You can tell right away that's what they see. And that's how they see it. Is that the highest and the best? Of course not. And how are we going to help people get out of that kind of fleshly mentality and worldly perspective unless we preach to them and help them to see that God has a better way? And that's where they're at. And that's their choice, to be honest with you. In one sense, I could say it like this. It's none of my business whether someone chooses to go that direction or not. And if they're happy with it, then good for them.
Okay. Here's my response to medications, prescription drugs, being a blessing from the guys, that it's grace. I'm going to give you a perfect example here. Okay, this is one of the world's most well-known, most popular, most advertised on television, radio, magazines, and newspapers, antidepressants. If you're sad and you're really depressed and people are really worried about you, you make a doctor's appointment and a doctor is going to prescribe this because it's really super popular and well-known. I mean, okay. It's like the world's greatest antidepressant.
Right.
Okay. These are the potential side effects of this drug.
Okay.
I'm not making this up. I'm literally reading it off of the website for the drug. Okay. Dry mouth, blurred vision, increased fatigue and sleepiness, weight gain, muscle twitching, tremors, constipation, bladder problems such as urine retention, dizziness, daytime drowsiness, increased heart rate, and sexual problems. And this is the kicker. Bouts of depression. It's an antidepressant. And these are the potential side effects.
Right.
Okay, here's my point. If there is anything from heaven, if there is anything that has to do with God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit and grace, if there's anything that is truly blessed, I promise you folks, if you never believe anything I say, believe this. It doesn't have a long list of side effects.
Right.
Seriously, that you're blessed to have this prescription, but you're going to have blurred. I mean, I got to tell you something. If you even had two or three of these side effects, how could you not be depressed?
Sure.
You can't go to the bathroom. You're constipated. Your mouth is dry. And you can't see because your vision's blurred.
Right.
Oh, I'd be sad.
Yeah.
I'd be depressed.
Right.
Which is really bad because another side effect is bouts of depression.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, if you can't go to the bathroom, you can't see, and your mouth is dry, and you're retaining urine, well, I think you're going to be depressed.
Well, that's why they give you multiple prescriptions
yeah.
to help the other prescriptions help to ward off the side effects, and they whittle the side effects down until at least you're not dead.
And I don't think this is ironic. I think this is very sad and depressing, but it's true. The United States of America, which is the predominant large majority of our listeners, I mean, major part.
Right.
The biggest part of the pie is citizens of the United States of America. We are known as a Christian-based country. There's a lot of Christians between sea to shining sea.
Right.
And at the same time, we are also well known for consuming 80% of the world's total pills, prescription drugs.
Right.
So how can we supposedly have an amazing amount of Christians, people who are saved, going to heaven, have a relationship with God, and at the same time consume 80% of the prescription drugs globally? Obviously, somebody is wrong.
Right.
And it's not the drug companies.
Right. Right.
think people should think about that.
I think so, too.
All right. We've got an email here. It says, great message tonight. Keep up the good work. This is from Jay in Michigan. Are you ready to say something to music?
Yep.
All right. Let me get there. Hold on. Okay. Ready? Go.
Yep.
Go.
Well, you know, the scriptures tell us, and we know this to be true, in the presence of the Lord, there's fullness of joy. And that joy, in my opinion, is the opposite of the frustration that people deal with. Folks, really, even as Jesus made reference, he said, what I'm trying to get you to do is relax and stop spending all your time on trying to get something, trying to fight with the world system. But maybe put all of your thoughts in a God initiative, a God reality, and God consciousness. In other words, let God just be real to you. Maybe he is more real to you. What's the possibility that your relationship is really more intact than you think? And if you were just to step back from your life for a moment, you'd experience that grace is really everywhere and God's really real to you. You'd hear his voice and your heart would be so filled with warmth and realize he's there. Well, this is what we desire for you and what we pray for you every day of your life. Until next time, amen.
Well, that was nice. Good. On a happy note, even though it's almost 10 o'clock at night here in the central part of the United States of America, I want to wish everybody today, April 14th was Dictionary Day, so I hope that you had fun with the dictionary. And remember, folks, tomorrow, you've got plenty of time to celebrate. Tomorrow, April 15th, is globally, it's National Rubber Eraser Day.
I know, that's just something.
So make sure that you acknowledge rubber erasers, whether they're the individual kind or like they're connected to a lead pencil. So make sure that you enjoy and celebrate. I know for a lot of you, that means a big holiday meal. And check in your local area, see if schools, banks, and post offices are enclosed in observance of Rubber Eraser Day, because you don't want to send kids to school if there's no school because it's Rubber Eraser Day. So enjoy the holiday. And Jim, you got anything you want to add other than that?
No, it's good.
You got any big plans tomorrow for Rubber Eraser Day?
I haven't really spent a lot of time thinking about it, but maybe I better.
I don't know. Check with Aaron.
Okay. I'm sure the kids are going to use them.
Well, there you go. Be a good dad. You know, give him erasers.
Okay.
Are we ready?
We are. Where's Ranger?
Where is she? Oh, she's under the table. What are you doing under there, girl? Well, it's almost time. I want to take a special moment to welcome all the new listeners to the show and spread the word about it. And thanks to all the people who sent emails. It'll take me about 15-20 minutes to get tonight's show recorded and up and streaming. And then it'll be up there loaded and going 24 hours, 7 days a week. Check out the archives page. Take care of yourself and your pets. Good night.
Good night, everyone.
Ranger? Ranger, what's dog spelled backwards? That's right. Good night, everybody.
Good night.